You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
First Nations listeners are advised that the following program may contain the names and voices of our mob who have passed on to the dreaming.
You're listening to Yilliman on 3CR, 855 on your dial, 3cr.org.au, streamed online and via the playback service. I'm going to start off today with a couple of announcements for upcoming events. This Saturday, March the 28th at 4 p.m. is the Trans Day of Vengeance. They'll be demanding accessible gender-affirming care for all, cops and Zionists out of pride, and no pride in detention. I'll have to actually confirm exactly where that is, sorry, and get back to you. But we've also got some other stuff on this weekend as well. On this Friday as well, this Friday afternoon actually, from 3 to 8 p.m. is the North Richmond Community Festival. The Public Opinion Afro Orchestra will be playing alongside a bunch of other good acts like Deadly Mace, Afro Moses, Fiddle Strings, and my apologies for pronouncing this, but I think it's Ajak Kwai. That one is going to be at the Jeering Gathering Place in Richmond. So head along to that one this Friday night. There is also a much important garage sale on this weekend. This Saturday from 9:30 a.m. through to 2 p.m. at 84 Arthur Street in Fairfield. Now, this garage sale is for the Free Kanaki Solidarity NAM group. They're organising a delegation to come over from Kanaki to so-called Australia. But, of course, you know, such things cost a fair bit of money. There's a lot of costs involved in terms of airfares and accommodation and other travel expenses. So do head along to that one and get yourself some good stuff. It's all for a great cause. They're going to have a range of different stuff there. There's got clothes and books and, you know, bake sale, a bric-a-brac, various different merch and solidarity items. So yeah, do head along to that one this Saturday in Fairfield, 84 Arthur Street, Fairfield, from 9:30 to 2 p.m. It's for a much needed cause. I just want to have a quick yarn about some conservation stuff. So if you're a regular listener to this show or to the other show I do, Earth Matters, on the occasional Sunday, you might have heard me talking a bit before, quite a lot about, you know, conservation and the need for people to get involved with conservation and looking after the ecosystem and the environment and the climate and all of that stuff, you know, caring for country at the end of the day. But it's something that is very crucial for us all to get involved in. You know, at the end of the day, we are heading towards some very devastating times in terms of the climate and the ecosystem. You know, we're living through climate collapse and ecosystem collapse right now. In fact, you know, we're living through the next mass extinction currently. You know, at the moment, we're seeing extinction rates and we're seeing the death of so much plants and animals. You know, it's pretty on par with the last mass extinction, which happened some 65 million years ago when a giant asteroid came hurtling through space and smashed into Earth and wiped out the dinosaurs and several other species of plants and animals. But, you know, we're living through a similar situation right now. So, you know, on that note, I can't stress enough and I can't encourage people enough to get involved with looking after the ecosystem and trying to, you know, do what you can to look after the climate, to, you know, really put yourself out there, put your labor and your resources and your skills out there and actually do something to help. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, whether there's, you know, some successful revolution over the horizon where the West and capitalism falls, or whether we continue on under this system, you know, we're going to need these ecosystems and this biodiversity and these climates to exist in a way that is sustainable for life on this planet. And, you know, as things are currently going, you know, that's not going to be the case very soon. So, you know, I really can't stress enough that it's about trying to preserve what still exists as well. You know, we've already lost so much. We're continuing to lose so much all the time, every single day. You know, especially here on this continent. Australia's got one of the worst deforestation rates, one of the worst extinction rates in the world at the moment. Not to mention, you know, all the other issues that we are facing here on this continent in terms of water pollution and topsoil erosion and dry land salinity and, you know, our water tables being exploited and dried up and, you know, etc., etc. There are so many issues right across this continent, no matter where you look. But yeah, people really need to get involved and really need to try and do what they can to preserve what still exists. Otherwise, there isn't going to be anything in a few more years. You know, we're not going to have wildlife and biodiversity anymore if things keep going how they're going and if people don't get involved and do what they can to help out. We're heading towards a point where, you know, there's going to be a few dozen species and that'll be it. And, you know, that will predominantly be things like cockroaches and, you know, jellyfishes in our acidified oceans and, you know, all of these other things that we can't eat and that don't balance a healthy biodiversity and ecosystem. So, yeah, I really can't stress enough to get involved. But there's a lot of good places that you can get involved as well. There is plenty of good organizations, you know, some more radical than others, don't get me wrong. But there are plenty of good organizations that are doing good work to try and care for country. If you tuned into Earth Matters on my recent show, you might have heard I done an interview with Matt from Basalt Buddies. The reason I'm mentioning this is, you know, Basalt Buddies do a lot of really great work in the local area, trying to preserve and look after the Victorian grassland plains, which, by the way, you know, have been absolutely decimated since colonization. Depending on who you ask and what sort of measures you use, there's anywhere between, you know, 0.5 and maybe 2% at most of the grasslands still intact. You know, I just want you to, you know, think about that. That's 98% minimum of the Victorian grassland plains has been destroyed by agriculture, you know, by cattle, by all of these introduced Western farming practices, by land clearing for development and, you know, all of these other devastating things. But yeah, there's less than 2% of that grassland still there. So, you know, Basalt Buddies are doing a lot of really great work to look after these grasslands and to ensure that a lot of these grassland plants don't go extinct. You can find them on Instagram. They've also got a website. If you Google Basalt Buddies, I'm sure you'll be able to find the website. But yeah, get involved. They have regular volunteering days where you can go along and you can get involved with the work that they're doing, help them to propagate some more plants or go and look after a grassland area. There's also a bunch of other stuff. And this is what I meant before when I said a bit of the less radical stuff. But there's a bunch of other stuff as well that people can get involved in. Some of them are, you know, council facilitated. But you've got the Merri Creek Management Committee, who, for example, do a lot of really great work. They also have a lot of really great opportunities for people to go along and to get educated and to get involved. You know, as an example of that, this Sunday, unfortunately, it's already all booked out. So, you know, you won't be able to go and book into this if you haven't already. But just as an example, this Sunday, they've got a Water Watch training workshop where people can go down and they can learn the citizen science skills needed to be able to monitor the health of a local waterway and to do stuff like, you know, survey the bugs and frogs and whatever else that live in there. And but yeah, they do a lot of really great educational stuff like this. They done a eucalypt tree identification walk the other day. They've got a bunch of stuff for kids as well, like 30th of March, they've got a pop-up nature playtime for little kids. In April, they've got a few different things on as well, like a twilight nature walk. They've also got a pop-up nature playtime for little kids. There's also other similar organizations. So you've got your East Coburg, what do they call themselves? The East Coburg, I'm not entirely sure actually. sorry. But it's a East Coburg, similar to the Merri Creek Management Committee, where they do a lot of great work in East Coburg. There's also like the Darabin Creek Friends of groups, and you know, various other ones like Edgar's Lake, and you know, etc. But yeah, go and get involved. Go sign up, go find them on Instagram or Facebook, or find their websites and sign up to their newsletters and put your name down to volunteer and actually get involved, so you can start to learn the skills needed to care for country and to make sure that you can do your part to look after our native fauna and flora here on this continent, and to help preserve them for generations to come.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
But yeah, to go back to what I was talking about just before about the conservation stuff, yeah, really just can't stress enough that people should go and learn the skills and, you know, go and get involved. And there's different levels to how much you can get involved depending on, you know, how much time you have and resources and mobility and whatever else. But there's lots to be done. There's so much work to be done out there. And there's so many places it can happen as well. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, down at your local creek or, you know, up in the north in the grasslands. It can be your own backyard as well. You know, you can really start to make that change at home, as the saying goes. But, you know, there's so many gardens that are filled with all of these invasive species. And, you know, these invasive species, they don't do anything for the local biodiversity in the ecosystem. They're not pollinated plants that feed the local native bees and other native insects and native birds. You know, for the most part, the way that they work, you know, these pollinators, the pollinators that they do feed, you know, they're introduced bugs and, you know, foreign invasive insects that actually do a lot of harm to our native insects. So, you know, there's lots of work that can be done, but you can start in your own backyard. Go and get yourself some local native plants. And, you know, I can't stress enough here the word local. A lot of people hear native plant and think, you know, they can just go and pluck anything from anywhere on the continent. But it doesn't work that way. It needs to be native to the local area in order to be a part of that biodiversity. But there are plenty of local native flowers and vegetables and trees and shrubs and whatever else, ground cover and rah, 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 that people can be planting in their own yards. You know, go and dig up your roses, dig up your carnations and your carnelians and, you know, all of these other introduced flowers, especially stuff like lantana. I saw some lantana in someone's yard the other day. Absolutely disgusting invasive weed, that one. Has gotten so much destruction up in my country on the south coast. But, you know, go and dig up these foreign introduced species in your yard, chuck them in your compost heap, and go and plant some natives as well. And, you know, just on the topic of local natives, you know, this is another thing that really really frustrates me. You know, a lot of people go and pull plants from other places around this continent, and because it's technically a part of the same country, you know, so-called Australia, they think it's native, but it's not. You know, if you go and get a plant from somewhere like Queensland or Western Australia or South Australia or wherever it may be, you know, somewhere interstate, you know, that's not native to here just because it belongs on the same continent. It's not a part of the local ecosystems. You know, it's no different to if someone in Spain went and got some plant from Russia that, you know, didn't occur anywhere except for Russia and planted it in Spain and tried to turn around and say it was native. You know, at the end of the day, that's the exact equivalent of what people are doing when they do this. You know, the distances are the same, thousands of kilometres. You know, it's 1,000 kilometres nearly up to my country. You know, I can't go and get plants from my country and plant them down here if they're not from here. You know, I'm just introducing my own weeds and invasive species and messing with the local biodiversity down here doing that. So, you know, when you do go and buy natives, make sure that they're proper natives. Make sure they're not cultivars either. That's another thing that really annoys me. But yeah, I'm not going to go on about it anymore. Just, yeah, go and get involved with some local conservation efforts. Go and do your part, you know, start in your own backyard.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.